want to talk on a topic, and I just want to address this topic only because of the COVID-19 virus that hit everybody's world upside down. And I've had a lot of questions that I've been answering on email to a lot of different people about this topic. So a lot of people, unfortunately, have the idea that somehow, in some way, that this is a judgment from God, or somehow that God is operating to cleanse the nation and the world of those who are in opposition to him. And I want to address that question because that just plainly is not true. And I'm going to read a verse here. I'm going to read it out of three different translations. First, the Concordance, then the King James, and then the UVB. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, we read, "No trial is taken you except what is human. Now faithful is God, will not be leaving you to be tried above what you are able, but together with the trial will be making the sequel also to enable you to undergo it." And in the King James, we have, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. God is faithful, but will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make the way to escape, that you may be able to bear it." And then out of the UVB, here, "There has no test taken you, but such as is common to man. But Elohim is faithful, and will not allow you to be tested beyond your ability. But with the testing, he will also provide the way of escape, that each of you may be able to endure it." Now, it's interesting when we read this passage and we look at it, it's very clearly teaching the idea that there is no trial or temptation that can befall us except that which is common to humanity. Now, that word that's translated trial in two of the translations, temptation in the other, literally means a putting to the test. And it's interesting, that idea of putting to the test. How is it that people are put to the test, according to Paul here? We're put to the test by actually confronting things that are common to all of humanity. Now, the Apostle Paul tells us that there are three specific things that is common to all of humanity. The first one that's common to all of humanity we'll find in Romans chapter number 8 and verses 19 down through 23. So Romans 8, let me go there. Romans 8, and starting at verse 19, Romans 8, verse 19, "For the creation waits with eager expectation for the unveiling of the children of Elohim, for to disappointing misery was the creation made subject, not voluntarily, but because of him who did subject in expectation, that also the creation will be free from the slavery of corruption to the freedom of the glory of the children of Elohim. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together pains of childbirth until now. Not only this, but we ourselves also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly, for as we eagerly await our adoption, the redemption of our body. The fact that man is part of a fallen creation ensures that certain things are going to befall every one of us. God doesn't have to bring a judgment to bear on humanity for sickness to be a problem within humanity. We got sick because sickness and disease was introduced by Adam when he disobeyed and sinned and led humanity into sin. Mankind suffers because we're part of this fallen creation, this creation that has begun to break down and decay from the very moment that Adam introduced sin into the world, has created a world whereby things befall us. In Genesis chapter 9, for instance, Moses records that springtime and winter and harvest would continue for as long as the earth endures. And the idea that he's getting at is some things are just true because the world is in existence under this fallen realm. The world doesn't function the way God intended it to function because sin has been introduced into it. And because sin was introduced into the world sometimes doesn't act correctly. Sometimes those of us who are part of this creation will have to experience that groaning and travailing, the groaning of burdens that are heavy to bear because we have famine and hunger and disease and pestilence and war and all of those things that have come into a fallen creation. We groan and wait with eager expectation for that day when we will receive our adoption. What is our adoption? The redemption of our body. It's the day we receive that new glorified body fashioned like unto Christ, glorious, resurrected, epheronious body or celestial body. That's what we're waiting for. That's what the creation is groaning and travailing in pain. And the reason we're groaning and travailing in pain is because we've all been made subject to that. We've been made subject to that so that we look with eager expectation towards the future for a day when we too will experience what it is that God intended us to be. When we're joined together with Him, never to be separated, when we're in our new bodies, fashioned like unto His glorious body. This is all part of the suffering that humanity goes through because we're part of a fallen creation. This suffering and our experiences through suffering create a longing within the creation. It creates a longing within individuals who have the reasoning ability to understand things need to be different, that things aren't the way they're supposed to be. And what that longing does is for all of God's creation to begin to want something different, to want something better. And what it produces is an eager expectation of the creation for something better to come. This is why ultimately all men will choose to have Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and why all men will ultimately choose freely to accept God's authority over them. Because ultimately, the things we're suffering is working for us to produce that longing and expectation. part of a fallen creation, we all sometimes do make bad choices. Now, let me go here in Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. I'll go here to the concordance because I think most people here are probably using that. Galatians chapter 6. And in Galatians chapter 6, let's look at verses 7 and 8. Galatians 6 and verses 7 and 8. I got to tell you, man, I love the beard. It looks awesome. It says, "Be not deceived. God is not to be sneered at. For whatsoever man may be sowing, this shall he be reaping also. For he who is sowing for his own flesh, from the flesh shall be reaping corruption. Yet he who is sowing for the Spirit, from the Spirit shall be reaping life aeonian." What the Apostle Paul is trying to say here, really simply, and I'm going to put it in as simple English as I can. If we sow to the flesh, if we function where we're self-willed and out of God's will, if we're functioning as a soulless man, we will face consequences. Now, what do I mean by that? Let's use today's present circumstances as an example. We know, for instance, that guidelines have been put in place for all of us to try and stay safe, hence the use of technology to have a Bible study, right? So what happens if we all decide, we're not going to listen to that, and we all get together, and we constantly are coming into close contact with everybody, and then one of us gets sick? What happens to everybody else? We all get sick, right? So what happens is we made a poor choice, a poor decision. If I drink really heavily for 40 years and I end up with cirrhosis of the liver, was that a bad choice? And did God cause me to have that cirrhosis of the liver? Well, the answer very clearly there is, God didn't cause me to have cirrhosis of the liver. It's just a bad choice. It's just something that we should never have done. It's something that we should have known better, but we made a bad choice. As people, because we don't have all the wisdom that we should have, or we sometimes choose to not use the wisdom we have, we make poor decisions on occasion. When we make those poor decisions, we reap the consequences of those decisions. God didn't bring those consequences about for us. We really created it ourselves. And sometimes when we exercise poor decision making, it impacts somebody else just because they're part of a fallen creation. Let me give an example of that. I drink really heavily and I decide to get in my car and drive home. And when I drive home, I don't see the little boy or little girl riding their bicycle on the side of the street, and my vision's all blurry, and I run that child over. How many times have you ever heard somebody say, "Why would God cause an innocent child to be harmed?" You ever hear that? I think we all have, right? Well, the reality is, in the example I just gave, God didn't cause that. It was my poor decision that caused it. We're all part of that fallen creation, and unfortunately, when we make poor decisions, it impacts other individuals. The alcoholic who ends up with cirrhosis of the liver, do you think his family was impacted by his alcoholism or her alcoholism? Did they have to deal with all the things that go with alcoholism? The time away from the family, the potential abuse or neglect of family, the potential of loss of income, the potential of loss of money, the potential breakup of a family. All of those things are true of typical alcoholics. And what ends up happening is it doesn't impact just me. My poor decision has an outreach that impacts other people. Why? Because they're all part of a fallen creation, and the things that befall all of fallen creation, that befall all of humanity, come about for them as well. We all suffer from the consequences of poor decisions. Every one of us, as tragic as that may be. Another verse for you to look at here is in Romans chapter 2, if you want to go there. Romans chapter 2. And in Romans chapter 2, verse 6, it says, who will be paying each one in accord with his acts, to those indeed who by endurance and good acts are seeking glory and honor, and in corruption, life aeonian. That to those of faction and stubborn indeed as to the truth, yet persuaded to injustice, indignation, and fury, affliction and distress on every human soul, which is effecting evil, both of the Jew first and of the Greek. The idea here is there are individuals who will inflict upon others evils. And he listed what those evils were. Injustices, fury or anger, indignation, affliction, distress on every human soul who does evil. We reap the consequences of our decision. If we do something that we know to be contrary to what is beneficial, we reap the consequences of those actions. If I spend money when I do not have money to spend and I go broke, then we have trouble. Then I end up in bankruptcy. Then I face the consequences that comes and produces. So far we've established two things. All of us are part of a fallen creation. We're all humans, and all humans will have things befall them that a fallen creation has befall them. The second thing is we are all subject to making poor decisions. And when we make a poor decision, we reap the consequences of that poor decision. The last thing is when we live godly, we will suffer persecution. In 2 Timothy, if you like to turn there, 2 Timothy chapter 3, and in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 12, says, and all who are wanting to live devoutly in Christ Jesus shall be persecuted. The Apostle Paul tells us to live godly is to bring persecution upon yourself. When we take a stand for God, can expect those around us to persecute us in some way, shape, or form. Now, let me give an example of this. I'll give an example of one that maybe we can all relate with. You're at work, and as you're at work, you have a conversation going on around you. And the conversation ends up being one that is really inappropriate for the workforce. And you just state, you know, we all need to be working and earning our money rather than socializing and taking time that belongs to our employer. Do you think your coworkers are going to like what you just said? Or do you think your coworkers are going to be upset and continue to want to just socialize? But see, if we're to live devoutly and to make godly choices, when we take on the responsibility for a job, it means that we give our employer an honest day's work. It means we work and continue to work unless it's time for a scheduled break. What that's going to do, though, is hold you up to open ridicule. I can tell you from experience that I know of individuals who have made godly decisions and it has cost them family relationships. It has cost them jobs. It has cost them the potential dating of individuals that they're interested in. It has cost maybe an advancement in their career. But it was the right thing to do, and because they did the right thing to do, they're not being judged of God. They're suffering the consequences of making a just, right decision that God would approve of in a ungodly, fallen creation. An ungodly, fallen creation is setting up a system that is going to be contrary to God. Go with me here for a second to the book of Colossians. Colossians. And in Colossians 2, I want to look at verse 8. Colossians 2 is verse number 8. I'll read it here in the concordance. Beware that no one shall be despoiling you through philosophy and empty seduction, in accord with human tradition, in accord with the elements of the world, and not in accord with Christ. For in him the entire complement of the deity is dwelling bodily. Now, think of it this way. The Apostle Paul is warning us that there are elements in this world that are not in accordance with God, and that stands to reason. We're part of that fallen creation that is groaning and travailing together. We are all, unfortunately, under this system. We're under the system where human tradition is viewed as greater than God. We're under this system where the rudiments of the world, as the King James would say it, or the elements of this world, the elements are greater and take more precedence than God. And what it does is it's upsets me enough for all kinds of terrible things to befall them. It allows man to try to play God and to create biological life in a test tube. It allows man to create horrific instruments of war, chemical weapons, nuclear weapons, biological weapons. It allows man to do terrible things to fellow man because this is the tradition. If you live in certain parts of the world, you hate a person just because they're Jewish and they're not Pakistani or Palestinian or whatever. That is the world we live in, folks. God today is not angry at the world. God today is not judging the world. God today is offering a message of conciliation to the world so that through that offer of conciliation, reconciliation can occur. And when reconciliation occurs, God rejoices. God today, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, is not angry with the world. He has conciliated the world to himself for the reason that he wants the world to have a relationship with him that will allow each and every individual to live a life that would bring nothing but total happiness and bliss. The problem is we don't allow it to take root in our lives because we're still waiting for that day when we receive our adoption. What is it? The reconciliation, that new, glorious, redeemed body. That's what we're waiting for. And praise God that all man will one day be able to participate in that glorious, glorious event when Jesus will give up all to the Father. Not only will he give all to the Father, but at that point, God himself will be all in all. When our final enemy, death, is defeated, and all men, everywhere, will experience what it's like for God to be all in all. I do want to close, and I want to give all of you my email, so if you do have questions, you can contact me. Bill Petrie, it's BILLPETRI @hotmail.com. BillPetrie@hotmail.com. Now, we do have this set up for the next number of weeks, for however long this is going to be, we'll have this set up. It's nice. This is a lot more people than I'm typically speaking to, so it's great seeing some of your faces and those of you that are on the audio only. It's nice to have you with us as well. I do want to say we only have a few more minutes, and that's why I'm breaking at this point. We do have a website, and I know Greg has a website as well. I want to give both of those as well. It's beacon-ministries.org or beacon-ministries.net. And on that point, let me give one last plug. I know the next conference coming up is in June. Hopefully we can all get together in June. That's going to be there in Ohio. And I look forward to seeing all of you personally there, and some of you hopefully before that, but it's good to see your faces. So, having said that, before I get cut off, good night, everyone, and thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next Wednesday. Bye, guys. Thank you. Bye.
thanks. I find it great, Rosario. Thanks for the love.
You hear me?
I heard you.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you, everyone. Have a good night.